Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
What I want to start off with is just a show of hands, and it's a show of hands to this. Has anyone ever hurt you? Okay, we got a few. Has anybody ever hurt you? Some people here have way better lives than mine. Okay, this is not going the way that I thought. I think some people are distracted. I think it's fairly safe to say that in most of our lives, we've been hurt by someone. Maybe it was emotionally. Maybe it was physically. But there's been something that's been done to us, and we didn't like it very much. Now, we can react in many different ways to when people hurt us. And for some things, we might just shrug it off, right? We might say, hey, it's all good, and we never think of it again. This is the kind of stuff where, you know, somebody steps on your toe in the line at Disneyland, or actually, I've been to the lines at Disneyland, and that's not usually how you take it when someone steps on your toe. It goes a little bit beyond that. But okay, so when you brush past somebody on the street in Canada, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's all good. You never think of it again. For others of us, though, and other types of pain, types of hurt that we've experienced from people, we might wallow in it. Have you ever done this before? Someone does something to you and you go, ah, I can't believe they did that. You just replay it in your mind over and over and over again. Maybe you begin to imagine maybe there was a different way, a different thing that could have been done, or you just picture it in vivid color in your head, thinking, I can't believe that that happened. Oftentimes when we do that, we begin to also think of, you know, all the bad things we'd love to happen to the person that did that to us. Have you ever been there? Right? That somebody hurt you and now you want to see them hurt. Or somebody hurt you, and now you want to actually get revenge against that person. You want to show them that things are going to come back on them, right? You hear people talk about karma all the time, and I'm not a big believer in karma. But what I will say is it kind of echoes for many of us this feeling that we want things to come back on the people that hurt us. You hurt me, and so I need to hurt you, or something needs to happen to you to hurt you. I remember a few years ago, I was holding on to some hurt. Somebody that I'd let get close to me, somebody that I'd thought of as a friend, really did a number of things that hurt me deeply. And as I went through this experience, you know, myself being a good Christian, I thought that I'd let it all go. I thought that all these things that had happened to me, I'd said, oh yeah, I forgive you. You know, the cursory word, just really quick, I forgive it, yep. And yet, I remember every time I would hear this person's name, it was like somebody was reaching into my stomach and grabbing a hold of all that's in there and twisting it into a knot. You know what I mean? Every time that I would see that person on the street, I could be having a great day and suddenly my day was not so great. I was exhausted. I actually entered into a year-long depression through this experience as I continued to hold on to this anger and this pain inside of myself. I don't know if I'm the only person in this room that's been into this kind of situation before, where you're physically just taken down by the exhaustion of not letting go. But that's where I was at that point in time. You see, when we have these hurts and we don't deal with them in a healthy manner, they just begin to compound into many, many more problems. In fact, did you know that when we refuse to let go of our resentment and our bitterness, that it doesn't just hurt us, it doesn't just hurt the person that we're upset at, but that it actually hurts those around us, those that we care about the most. You see this a lot with children. Mom and dad are separated, divorced. Kids are over at dad's place. They hear a lot of stuff about mom. And they're over at mom's place and they're hearing a lot of stuff about dad. You know, and they just start to get a little jaded. Or maybe something went on with the grandparents, and so they hear these conversations late at night where the parents are talking and they're listening, and they're hearing all this vitriol getting spewed out about the grandparents. They're going, I don't want to go see grandma and grandpa. They're not very good people. I've seen this with the church and with God, where parents have a problem with a pastor or with a Sunday school teacher or with somebody that goes to their church or goes to another church, and they get so upset, bitter. And so they begin to talk about these people at home. And maybe they stop going to that church. Or maybe after three churches, each church finding something they didn't like or someone they didn't get along with and talking bad about that person, they just stop going to church altogether. And so you find these children that grow up in homes where they know, I used to go to church, but then something happened. My parents got really angry at someone and we stopped going. Or yeah, my parents, they used to pray, they used to read their Bible, and then something happened. They didn't feel like God came through for them. And they just took all that hurt. They couldn't let it go. And it all stopped. And let me tell you, if that's the way that the church was to my parents, if that's the way that God was to my parents, then I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with him. It can hurt those closest to us when we don't let go. It also hurts us. See, holding on to resentment presents health risks to us. In fact, literally, holding on to hurt is killing you. I'm serious. Holding on to hurt is killing you. In fact, Dr. Everett Worthington, an author, clinical psychologist, and professor of psychology at Virginia Commonwealth University, states, science has shown that chronic resentment can lead to higher blood pressure, increased tension and inflammation, elevated cortisol levels, which all disrupt nearly every bodily process. It's killing you. And you may think, well, it's not so bad. I'm not noticing a lot going on right now. I can hold on to it a little longer. But later on, Dr. Worthington says, you pay the piper later on this. We get angry and stressed all the time, and we don't notice those effects right away, but they will show up eventually if we practice them for a long time. If you hold on to it, if you exist in a stressed out state for weeks or months or years, science actually tells us that toxins begin to be released into our body that wear us down and break us down. We get sick. See, all this holding on to hurt, it's literally killing you. And all of this can result in a worsened quality of life and a shortened lifespan. But what I'm here to talk to you about today is that there is an antidote. That there is an antidote. And we're going to talk about it in just a moment. But I think that we better pray at this point, because I think that when we're in a dire circumstance like this, looking around at our world that is obviously full of people that are full of hurt, and I know that some of us in this room right now, maybe you walked in the doors today full of hurt. Maybe you're sitting across the aisle from someone that hurt you. Or maybe you left a situation at home that you're going to be going back to that hurt you. But whatever your situation is, whatever you're going through in life, I want to let you know that there is one who can enter into your situation and can begin to change it. And we're going to pray to him today. Will you join me with your eyes closed and your heads bowed? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that when things are too big for us, that we can turn to you. And this morning, as we talk about what we can do in the face of the hurts that we've experienced, will you just open our hearts today to receive? Will you just help us to understand the importance of this all today? And Lord God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak, and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to look at an important principle in the Bible. Now, the Bible, for those of you that are wondering, it's a very important book for those of us that follow Jesus. What the Bible is it is the revelation to us of who God is, of his plan for us, and of how it is that we can enter into his love, which is always there for us, and find his grace and forgiveness. And so today, as we open this book up and we look at this principle that God created called forgiveness, we're going to find that it has some important benefits as we start today with the first in our four-week series on forgiveness. The first benefit that we see of practicing forgiveness is that you will keep your children and others from falling prey to bitterness. If you forgive, if you don't hold on to the hurt, if the conversations aren't happening night after night that your kids are listening to, where they're hearing everything that you're pouring out against the people that hurt you, you're guarding their hearts. You're protecting them from becoming bitter too, from taking on themselves the hurt that you're carrying. And I don't know about you, if you're a parent or a grandparent here, but I know for myself, I've got four young kids. And there's nothing that hurts me inside more than to think that if I'm going through something, if I'm hurting inside, that they might pick up on my pain and start to hurt inside too. I don't want that. And so if there's an opportunity, if there's a chance that I can take, there's something I can do to prevent them from going through what I go through, then I'm going to do it. Because I don't want them to grow up bitter against God or the church or the grandparents or my spouse. I want them to know that there can be wholeness, that there can be restoration and love. Second benefit of practicing forgiveness is you prevent the devil from gaining a foothold in your life. This one here, I know it sounds really Christian-y, right? Prevent the devil from gaining a foothold in your life. What on earth does that mean? Well, first of all, I wanna pull from scripture here, because I'm not just making terms like this up. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians in the Bible, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What Paul is saying here is that things like anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and sin, they all create a foothold in our lives for the enemy. You can think of it this way. This time of the year, things are starting to heat up a little bit, and those of us that don't have air conditioning, we're probably starting to open some doors and windows, right? And I don't know if you noticed, but outside, especially as the sun starts to go down, there's these friendly little critters. I think there must be billions of them just in Pincher Creek alone. They bite. And they itch. And they're really annoying. And so many of us, what we do is we put in front of our windows and our doorways these things called screens. They're great devices. They keep all these insects out. It's perfect. But have you ever had it where in one of your screens, whether it's on your window or on your door, a hole starts to develop? You get a hole, maybe the size of a dime or a quarter in that screen. And suddenly what happens? You're sitting on the couch and you're like, what is going on? Everywhere you go, there's these little creatures trying to suck your blood. Now, when that happens, you can do a couple things. The first thing you can do is you can live the entire summer with a fly swatter in one hand. And a lot of us in our lives, we do this. We walk around with a fly swatter in our hands. And we say, that's not a good thing. Why am I doing this good thing? I need to stamp out this thing, this sin, this behavior, this thought. And we're smacking all these little mosquitoes that are coming into our lives, into our hearts. And we can't figure out why they keep on coming. And let me tell you, if you've got a hole in the screen, that's where they're coming from. So your other option is that you fill in the hole. And then you don't have to worry about those pesky mosquitoes. And that hole, friends, is like giving the devil a foothold in your life. There's a hole in the screen. And you're going through life with a hole in your defenses, wondering why it is that attack after attack after attack is happening to you. Why it is that you keep on falling flat on your face spiritually, and let me tell you why. It's because there's a hole in the screen, and you need to fix it. And when you practice forgiveness, that hole in the screen of bitterness, that hole in the screen of resentment, of anger, you patch it up. You get rid of it. And the devil loses his foothold. Benefits of practicing forgiveness: you keep your children and others from falling prey to bitterness. You prevent the devil from gaining a foothold in your life. And number three, you will receive healing. You will receive healing. Dr. Worthington provided for the ill effects of bitterness and resentment in this thing that we read. She said, here's the solution. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Scientist doing her studies on the ill effects of holding on to our hurt. And here's the very scientific conclusion that she has: forgive others. Forgive others. Forgiveness will help us find inner healing so that we no longer hold on to these toxin-inducing stressors. Because suddenly our brains aren't wrapped up in the pain. We're not holding on to all this stuff and going through all the turmoil of playing it over in our lives again and again and again. We see the person on the street and our stomach is no longer twisted up in knots. You receive healing mentally, spiritually, but also physically. Because as the effects of long-term stress are removed, suddenly you can begin to heal. You see, I can call this healing, I can even call this a miracle, because I believe that my God created our bodies, and he created medicine, the ability for medicine to have an effect in our bodies. and the ability for our bodies to heal. And so when God says, forgive, and we forgive, and we experience healing, you're experiencing a miracle programmed into our DNA from the very beginning of time by God. Because he loves you. Fourth benefit of practicing forgiveness, God will forgive you. This one may have just set a few people back a little bit. Now, hang on a second. I believe in a loving God. God loves everybody. I thought that God forgives everybody. Or you're thinking, I'm a pretty good person and I'm working towards something here. I know that I'm well off. I'm going to be fine. God will forgive you. Listen to what Jesus says. This is recorded by one of his followers, Matthew. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. What's he talking about? He's not talking about love. God loves you. He loves every single one of you, wherever you're at. Even if you're like, you know what, I don't like this God guy. That's okay. He loves you. He really does. But he says, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Jesus isn't talking to somebody who's new to faith, who's trying to figure things out here and is still holding on to a few grudges. I'm not talking to them. He's not talking to someone who's wanting to forgive and who's working through the process and just hasn't gotten to that fullness of forgiveness yet. What he's saying is that if you absolutely refuse to forgive someone, that's a big problem. See, we had these three young people here today that got dunked in this tank I'm trying really hard not to pitch forward into. And when they went into that tank, we said that they were doing something that is symbolic of something else. What was that? Jesus dying and raising again for us. Think of it this way. Each of these three young people at some point in their lives recognized that there was brokenness. Recognized that there was something in themselves that they just couldn't fix, a problem that they just couldn't, no matter how hard they tried, no matter all the solutions that the world offered, none of them actually worked until they found Jesus. Why? Because God knew that in our brokenness, our brokenness, which we end up in because of something called sin, which is living outside of God's design for humanity. He knew that the only way that we could get back to his design is if someone perfect paid the price for us. And so God, in the person of Jesus Christ, took on human flesh and lived a perfect life. But despite that, we murdered him. We nailed him to a cross and beat him and let him die. And as he hung there bleeding and suffocating on this rough-hewn cross with Roman soldiers laughing at him, he took upon himself our brokenness and our sin and our shame. And listen to this, some of the last words that he said on that cross as he looked down on those that had put him there. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this Jesus is the one where if we turn from our old way of living and we turn towards him and place our trust in him, he begins to transform us and make us new. But let me ask you this. If someone claims to have been forgiven by the work of Jesus on the cross, isn't it a little hard to imagine them being so unforgiving toward others? See, Jesus was tortured and killed so that you could be forgiven. What could possibly warrant refusing to forgive another human being? Now, friends, I know that there are still some questions hanging in the air. What is forgiveness really? Are there situations where I don't have to forgive? What about reconciliation? Does that fit into anything? How do I forgive? Or what if I'm the one that needs to ask for forgiveness? And these are things that we're going to talk about next week and a couple of weeks after that. What I want you to recognize here today is that if you're holding on to unforgiveness, you're hurting yourselves, your children, those around you, and you're damaging your ability to reach people for Jesus. See, we believe that Jesus desires not just that a select group of individuals that meet together for church would follow him, but that this group of individuals that gathers for church would be so impacted by his love that we'd take it out there and tell people and show people how Jesus loves them. How they can begin to be transformed into what they were always meant to be. Can I end with a story before my voice goes away? In June 1973, Marietta Yeager, I don't know how to pronounce it, went camping in Badlands National Park with her husband, Bill, and their 5 children. And as they slept in their tents one night, their 7-year-old daughter, Susie, was kidnapped. Marietta suffered all the pain and emotional turmoil that you would expect in such a nightmarish situation. In the days immediately following the abductions, she was surrounded by people who talked about the kidnapper in venomous terms, routinely characterizing him as inhuman, even though his identity and gender were still a complete mystery. Despite this climate of anger and vengeance, something inside of Marietta began to shift as the days of waiting turned into weeks. As reported in the May-June 1998 issue of Health magazine, Marietta says that she heard a voice. What Marietta heard was God telling her, "I don't want you to feel this way." And as she pondered the message, the weight on her chest seemed to lift and her stomach relaxed. She fell into the first deep sleep that she had had since Susie vanished. And this here was the beginning of her commitment to releasing her anger and finding a path to forgiveness. 1 year after the abduction, the kidnapper called Marietta's home. Because she had used the intervening months praying for forgiveness, searching within her for the strength to find the humanity buried somewhere within this kidnapper, she was able to convey genuine empathy as she spoke with him. Despite the obvious risk to the kidnapper, Marietta was able to keep him on the phone for more than an hour, ultimately providing the FBI with enough information to locate and capture him. This man's name was David Meerhofer, and he had abducted and killed other children. And while in FBI custody, he confessed to murdering Susie Yeager a week after taking her from the family tent. And a few hours later, he committed suicide in his cell. Now, given Meerhofer's horrific revelation, it would be understandable for Marietta to abandon the course of her forgiveness. In fact, her husband never let go of his anger, and he died of a heart attack at 56 years old after suffering for years with bleeding ulcers. But Marietta stayed the course. She began traveling around the country to speak with others about forgiveness, sharing her experience. And she even befriended the kidnapper's mother, Eleanor Huckert. The article continues, she and Huckert went together to visit the graves of their children. And afterward, the two mothers sat at the Huckert's dining room table sipping coffee and thumbing through old scrapbooks. There was David on the front porch, a rosy-cheeked little boy, scrubbed and eager to set out for his first day of school. And as she studied the smiling boy in the snapshot, Marietta felt that her struggle to invest in the faceless criminal with humanity was complete. If you remain vindictive, you give the offender another victim, she says. Anger, hatred, and resentment would have taken my life as surely as Susie's life was taken. Today I have a first step for you to take. A first step into this thing called forgiveness. And here's what it is. Take some time this week to ask the Holy Spirit to show you the hurt that you're holding on to and who it is that you need to forgive. Sometimes we've got hurt that just sits in the background that we haven't actually dealt with. Ask God to bring it to the forefront so that we can actually root it out and move forward. And if you'll join me again next week, we'll make the next step together as we move forward into this thing called forgiveness. We break the chains of the hurt that has held us down for so long. Today, as we get ready to move into a time of communion, you may have heard me talking about Jesus and what he did for you. And maybe it is that something stirred in your heart and you began to think to yourself, I want to follow this man, Jesus. I want to let you know right now that if you in your heart are thinking, Jesus is real, and I want to follow him, then welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the new life. What I want to do is I want to lead you in a prayer right now. All of us here, if you don't mind just bowing your heads and closing your eyes, no one looking around. We're going to pray a prayer. This prayer is just a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving to God for sending Jesus to change everything in our lives. Because that's what he does. Jesus is going to take your life. He's going to turn it upside down. And you should know that you're never going to be going through life alone. There's a family here, that there's a God who goes with you. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be pain or struggle. But it does mean that there's someone with you taking the load. And so with nobody looking around right now, if there's anybody right now that would like to give their life to Jesus, will you just raise your hand? Nobody looking. No pressure on you right now. Thank you. I see your hand. You can go ahead and put it down. Right now, all around this room, will you pray this prayer with me? And if you pray this prayer from your heart, know that you are praying a prayer that is pushing you forward into a new journey. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin. I trust in you that your death on the cross and your resurrection has provided for my forgiveness. I look to you as my one and my only Savior and Master. Help me to turn from what life used to be. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, begin to walk forward into what you have made for me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. you prayed that prayer with us today, I'd encourage you to go ahead and fill out one of those blue cards in the seat back in front of you if you're able, so that we know who you are, can get a Bible and resources into your hand and plug you into people to help you grow and walk along this journey of faith with you. If you're online and you prayed that prayer with us, you can go ahead and just send us a message on Messenger, and we'll be sure to follow up with you.